Come out to Dillon Brothers Harley-Davidson and experience the power of the new Milwaukee 8 engine. Just a few minutes on a 2017 touring bike is all it takes. Book your test ride today. Dillon Brothers. Grab your freedom. Come on, let's
ride. Game time 16, Torn of the Zone. 16tornofthezone.com. 16tornofthezone mobile app. Bring on our next guest, Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com. Mitch, you're a huge College World Series fan, aren't you?
Well, I'm a attendee.
Right.
Yeah. College World Series. It's hard working every game, but absolutely, yeah. We're no longer a part of Omaha.
So Mitch, we'll try and reconnect with Mitch. Didn't have a good connection. Mitch is, he kind of does a little bit of everything with ESPN, and he's been there. The one thing I'm curious to get his take on is this Keyshawn Johnson Jr. situation. Just, I mean, as a guy that's been, he's covered Nebraska for a long time. He's covered college football for a long time. There are elements of this story that are pretty, I mean, unprecedented probably isn't the right word, but it is, it's unique to say the least. It is extremely unique, to say the least. I mean, you read some of the quotes from Keyshawn Johnson Sr. on just kind of all that happened, or all that his reaction to it, and it certainly sounds like. One of the questions I've had is, ultimately, who made this decision? Was this a decision solely from Keyshawn Johnson Sr. saying, you know what, I am pulling my son out. He needs to be taught a lesson. Was this a situation where Nebraska kind of, they were the first ones, and the staff and the athletic department were the first ones to kind of intimate at it? I don't know. I'll be interested as more information kind of comes out on this, just everything that went down there. We got it back, Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com. Mitch, you were cutting out a little bit. Have you, what's been your big CWS takeaway so far has been what?
First, sorry for the phone issue.
Oh, you're fine.
Big takeaway so far, I would say, well, it's hard to ignore. It's hard not to pay attention to what Oregon State and Florida have done, going 2-0, and I think there's a good chance that they will be your winners on Friday, and we won't need a Saturday game. I know a lot of times it seems like that's the case from watching the first 4 days of doubleheaders, that these two teams stand out, and we always seem to have a Saturday game or two. The difference for me this year, and maybe this trend will end tonight, maybe it will end Friday, in the bracket finals, but it seems like the teams, the favorites, so to speak, the higher seeded teams, just continue to get their work done.
Right.
And I guess that's a credit to the selection committee and the way that they seeded these teams. Really unusual to have 8 games and 8 higher seeded teams win. So, and it's the way that Oregon State and Florida have won so far, that, and the fact that, of course, they're going to have the normal pitching advantage and rest advantage when Friday's games come around against teams that are going to be out in the heat the next two nights, or one of the next two nights. I would be surprised if we're playing, really surprised if we're playing 2 games on Saturday, and mildly surprised if it's even one.
Totally agree. Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com. By the way, do your eyes tell you Oregon State is just a notch above everybody else, or do you think anyone can deal with them?
Well, the way that Florida has played so far,
yeah,
would lead me to believe that the Gators can hang with them. I mean, it's the same kind of thing with pitching and defense and timely hitting. Oregon State's had more of it, and Oregon State, to me, has been more impressive. I was more impressed with Oregon State, I would say, well, it's strange to say, after the 13-1 win.
Right.
I was impressed with them equally,
sure,
in both games.
Sure.
But they showed me things. They were able to show me things in that Cal State Fullerton game that were not there for the taking against LSU, because they dominated the LSU game from start to finish. But to have that 4-run deficit against Cal State Fullerton in the first game of the series and show absolutely no panic, it seemed to me that Oregon State was in control of that game from, even the time when it was down. The tempo, the pace, the way it was being played favored Oregon State when it trailed 5-1. And that's really unusual for a college team to have that kind of composure.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com. I want to transition, talk a little football with you. This This Keyshawn Johnson Jr. Story from yesterday. You know, he's kind of got off to a rocky start. His health was an issue when he first enrolled early and didn't get to participate in spring ball fully. Had a fumble in the spring game and then gets the pot bust in his dorm room. 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, and now he's taking a leave of absence and heading back home in hopes to mature. I guess how does this whole situation land to you? What's your, as a guy that's covered football for a long time, what do you make of this situation?
Well, he's been a guy who, from the time that he started looking at Nebraska, I believe as a sophomore in college or in high school, right when shortly after Mike Riley took over, and you had the Keyshawn name and the Keyshawn connection to Mike Riley, he's been high on the radar of Nebraska fans for a long time, and has yet to begin his freshman year, so to speak. He was, of course, on campus last spring, but I think it puts him in a unique place in that there were so many eyes on him, and there were expectations and probably some pressure that went along with that when you're 16, 17, now 18 years old. So not surprised to see him have some issues. Figured at some point in his career, probably expected it would be quite a ways more down the road, he was going to have some things to overcome. That's just kind of the way it goes, especially for these kids who are well known at an early age. It's unusual to find somebody who just smooth sails right along through their career after that kind of a splash beginning. I take Keyshawn Senior at his word within the reports that I read.
Yep.
That he's basically saying, we're going to shut this down before it gets bad. You're not going to embarrass your family or Nebraska or Mike Riley. I think that's a strong statement. And, we'll see what happens. Generally, when guys leave, they don't come back.
Uh-huh.
I think that, and I know that he said that they have the intention to do that. And, I take them at their word again on that. But time at home, and, he's basically back on the market if a team wants to come and look at him. And I don't think he's going to showcase himself in that way where he is open to all schools, but you never know. I mean, a fall away from the campus, they may decide that being in California is a better place for him, or maybe he will be able to work his way back and want to continue at Nebraska. We'll see. It probably won't be known until much later in the fall.
Yeah, I would say I'm with you. I mean, again, you want to take them at their word, but I would say, I don't know, history tells us that I at this point I would probably lean towards I'd be surprised to see him come back. It's tough to stay because, again, we're speculating, but do you think that this leave of absence move here was an idea that more – is from Keyshawn Johnson Sr. or more from the staff?
That's tough to speculate. If the only incident that he had was the one that was publicly known, I don't think the staff would move to take him away, take him off the team. I think that there's a precedent for that. I mean, there's another case pending in a similar situation with that on the Nebraska team right now. And you don't generally see guys booted from the team for that kind of an incident.
Right.
But if there were other things that have happened that we don't know about, maybe they're internal situations and this was a pattern, then it wouldn't surprise me if it was driven by the team. I knowing what we know, I would have to say it was probably more driven by the family. But
right.
If there are, like I said, if there are other incidents out there, then the coaches may have suggested it or may have mandated it.
By the way, I guess I'm going to keep asking you questions I don't know if anybody knows the answer to. What is his, what is Keyshawn Johnson Jr.'s eligibility situation and scholarship situation right now?
That's a good question. I'm sure there is a concrete answer to that, but I don't know. I haven't looked into it. It's kind of been all baseball for me in the last 12 to 18 hours. I would, just looking at it on its face, when you sign that letter of intent, it's valid for 1 year, and then renewable every year after that. So he signed a letter of intent, although he was an early enrollee, but I believe he still signed a letter of intent in February, which is when you're first eligible to do it, would make him tied to Nebraska or unable to play anywhere else for a year, unable to be on scholarship anywhere else for a year. He could certainly enroll at another school in January and then perhaps not go on scholarship until after the spring semester. He's never played at Nebraska. His five-year clock hasn't started. So I don't think that eligibility in that regard would be an issue, or being a transfer. Perhaps because he went through spring practice, there's some kind of the one-year sit-out thing. But then even if that's the case, sitting out 1 year after the spring would make him eligible to play elsewhere in the 2018 season, yeah. which is the earliest he'd be anyway, since I don't think there's any case, any scenario in which he's going to be at a 4 year school this fall. So my take on it and sifting through all that is probably wouldn't be able to be on scholarship anywhere else until a year from now, but would be eligible to play somewhere else, also a year from now.
Mitch Sherman.
In September 2018.
It's Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com. You know, Mitch, everyone matures at different rates, you know, like, and you can mature a lot in a six-month span when you're 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. And some people, let's be honest, they struggle with the freedom that college affords you at times, where you get there and all of a sudden you are totally, can do whatever you want. Do you think, with that in mind, mm-hmm. overall, enrolling early is a good thing for guys?
I've seen plenty of cases where it's not.
Yeah.
This is another one of those. But then there are also a lot of cases where it works out just fine and it benefits the player. More often than not, I would say it doesn't lead to perhaps what they're looking for, and that springboard into stardom or being a big contributor as a true freshman. I think most of the time, what's going to happen to you on the field and on the practice field and in games as a true freshman is not dramatically altered by your presence at spring practice the year before, going through those 15 workouts, getting accustomed to college life. It can help. And I would, it's hard to know. It's hypothetical. You know, you look at a guy who did have success as a true freshman after coming early and say, would he have had that same success if he didn't come early? There's no way to answer that, but I think more often than not, it's going to work out the way it's going to work out as a freshman, whether you're there in the
yeah.
spring prior or not.
That's probably the best way to answer it. By the way, it's interesting in talking to people that cover college football. You know, you get some people reacting to this, to the Bob Stoops retiring on, boy, this greatly impacts Oklahoma next year. And some people are saying, I don't know if it's that big of an impact. What side do you fall on? Do you think, like, Lincoln Riley being the head man now, does that greatly impact how you see Oklahoma's season next year?
It greatly impacts how I see Oklahoma's program. It doesn't greatly impact how I see next season unfolding, because next season you have, well, a couple things. One, you have Baker Mayfield, and you know, his presence is in some ways more important than any coach. And, you know, he's working with his guy, Lincoln Riley. They're going to run the offense. And you know, whether Riley's the head coach or the offensive coordinator. So I think they'll be fine. They're not going to miss a beat necessarily offensively. And then Bob Stoops' staff, including Mike Stoops, will be around, presumably, through that 2017 season. But it greatly – so I think Oklahoma is Oklahoma next year. And what would have happened under Bob Stoops isn't going to be dramatically different under Lincoln Riley. I mean, you know, they may – be a one-game swing or something to that effect.
Right.
But the program moving forward and just the overall scope of it, yeah, I mean, it's monumental. We'll see what happens after next season with that coaching staff. I would say, you know, Lincoln Riley has already brought in Ruffin McNeil, one of his guys, and, you know, to fill his own spot or to fill Bob Stoops' spot on the staff. And I would imagine that next year, in December and January, there's going to be some more turnover on that coaching staff. It's just kind of the way it usually goes. You don't see a lot of coaching changes this far into the off season, and when you see them happen earlier in the calendar year, well, then some assistant coaching moves generally follow. So I think you'll see some of those moves in December and January of next year. So In that regard, it'll impact the program quite a bit in 2018.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com. Mitch, great stuff, man. Appreciate your time today. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Nick. Thanks.
You got it. Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com touched on a handful of different things. Let's take a break because we're up against the clock a little bit. But, yeah, it's interesting if you think about, like, we usually think about enrolling early and, like, oh, what a great move. It's great. Like, I wonder if we overvalue enrolling early, if we overvalue how much it really impacts your ability to, whether you're going to play or not as a freshman, if you arrive in June or you arrive right at the start of the spring semester. I don't know how much that really makes a difference. And sometimes it can be detrimental with not being totally ready to be in college at that point. Wrap of the hour, we come back.